turkeys. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 119. Go Tate. Psalm 119. And we're going to begin there. That'll be our foundation today. Okay, this message today is number 3 in the series entitled How to Simplify Your Life. So we are in number 3 already. And, you know, this is kind of a practical series. It's really quite practical, actually, but sometimes people want all of this, give me some heavy revy, Pastor Dan. Well, I'm going to leave this over here. Thank you for that water, Dave. I appreciate that. I know I don't always take it, but boy, when I need it, it is so good to have it there. So thank you very much for that. Appreciate your faithfulness, you and Marvin both. A lot of times people want, give me some revelation. Well, most Christians have so much revelation at their fingertips and things that they've heard that they've gotten fat on it and they're not doing the majority of what they've heard. And you need to be careful of that. It's kind of like people that collect things, and they've got way more than they really need, but they've got to have another, And I'm not against collecting things. I mean, you do that as a hobby. You collect various things, I'm sure. But when it comes to the Word of God, I heard that. When it comes to the Word of God, we need to collect the Word into our hearts, ingest it, digest it, meditate it, mutter it, and do it. And it's another thing than for those that want to just give me more. I want more. I need more revelation. Well, start doing what you know, and you'd be surprised how that desire changes to, yes, I want to grow. Yes, I want a further revelation on the Word, but I'm too busy doing the things I know right now to start pondering things that are not really affecting my life here, but, that's interesting. Well, yes, there are a lot of interesting things in the Word, but my point is, do what you know, get after it. It's kind of like eat the food that's on your plate before you go and get another helping. Amen? All right. So last Sunday we were talking about the position that we as Christians are in, that the Lord has literally called every one of us to be, and that is to be a steward, if you remember. Let's read our foundation, and it's from Psalm 119. It's verse number 130. Psalm 119, verse 130 reads this way: "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Now, the word simple, we found out in the first 2 weeks of this series, we have found out that the word simple literally means those whose lives are uncomplicated, not littered with all sorts of complex issues that we give more time to. Now, that'll stop you from receiving the Word and having revelation from the Word. In any area, if your life is too complicated, too complex, too busy, I mentioned when people tell me they're so busy they can't read the Word of God, or so busy they can't go to church or fellowship with believers or what have you. They're too busy. Well, let me tell you something. Who's behind all that busyness is not the Lord. Amen? Because if it takes you away from Him, He's not the one doing it. I mean, that's pretty simple for us. It should be very simple for us as believers to grab a hold of. And it's just some simple thing that sometimes gets lost in the translation. But the entrance of the Word gives light. It gives understanding to those whose lives are not so complicated, is literally what that reads. So let me ask you this. What are the goals and objectives in your life today? If the Lord has spoken to you about something that for 2020... that you are to do and be involved in, what are the things in your life this day that need to be pared away in order for you to fulfill what the Lord's calling you to do. What are the things that you need to eliminate? Distractions, what have you, that are taking you away from doing what the Lord wants you to do. That question can only be answered by each one of you individually. You don't answer it for your neighbor. You don't answer it for the person over here or over there. You don't even answer that for your mate. Okay? You answer that for yourself. And be more concerned with you than you are anybody else. Amen. Now, we talked about us being stewards, called to that place of being a steward. A steward, the Greek word steward is oikonomos. And we said the word steward, oikonomos, in Greek means a house manager or a house distributor, one who is over his Lord's goods, manages the goods, distributes as per the instruction of the Lord. So as believers, we are called to manage the things of God that he's entrusted into our lives. We're called to be stewards. It's from the front of the Bible or the earliest book, the first book, Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation at the end. It's all throughout there. We are called into this place of stewardship, and how you act as a steward is very, very important. Are you being faithful as a steward? Are you being that house manager, that house distributor, with faithfulness attached to it like you should, like you're called to do? Then we mentioned to you a few things last week. Something I want you to consider. I'm not even sure if I mentioned this to you. But one of the things about stewardship that you need to think about and remember and realize is, as a steward, everything that you have belongs to the Lord. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and it's the fullness thereof that belongs to him. So, you know, Ann and I have two lots, 5 acres out there in our development. And yes, I own that. We own the house. We, you know, you own your cars or whatever. You own your clothing. But really, in reality, we're just being stewards of what we have been entrusted with. Because, in essence, it's not about me. It's about me managing what I've been entrusted with. And once you take away that selfish look in your life of, it's mine, it's about me, and you shift it over to, no, it's about what can I do to fulfill the purpose that the Lord has for my life, and all of that selfishness goes right out the door. And now you're more interested in leading people to the Lord than you are about building your personal kingdom. And you're more interested in praying for people and seeing to it that when they die one day, they know Jesus. It's not about you getting this, getting that, getting the other. The problem with most of the church is they've got their eyes off on other people and their eyes are not on the Lord like they ought to be. So you get your eyes off on people and you say, well, I want what he has or I want what she has and all that. And the key to having things in your life is being faithful to serve the Lord. That's if you really want to know the key to prosperity, and prosperity is not just money. Money is a part of prosperity. But the key to it is serving the Lord, being a one who seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. If you remember what Jesus was talking about, he was talking about all the things that the Goyim, the Gentiles, those that are apart from the covenant of God, and they're strangers to the covenants of promise. That's what a Gentile is, a Goyim. It's just the Hebrew word for Gentile. Goyim, it's the plural, Gentiles. Goyi is the singular. But here's what's interesting. Goyim, Goyi, translates, Gentile, translates, without God. Who's a Gentile in here today? If you are a Gentile, you're without God. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, you remember what he said? You who were once Gentiles, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. The Ephesian people were not Jewish people. But he said, you who were once Gentiles. In other words, you who were once Goyim. or go eat without God. So he's addressing the Gentiles who don't know the Lord, and he's saying that's all the things they seek after. They seek after the clothing, they seek after the stuff, what they're going to put in their bellies. They are the most important. And fellowship with the Father means nothing to them. All those things that they seek, don't you get caught in that same trap. You seek first the kingdom of God. If you'll do that, all those things that they're seeking after will come to you. How many of y'all can attest that you've been blessed throughout the years? And stuff has come into your life, you've financially, in goods and other ways. And, you know, some will say, well, it's my hard work. Well, I'm glad that you work hard. You should. There's nothing wrong with that. That's an art that is being lost. And it's being replaced with an entitlement mentality that I'm entitled to this. And I have a right to have what you have. Excuse me? You know, all this baloney about going around and saying, well, you know, and it's gone over into the gender thing now. You know, I identify with a female, so I'll go use the ladies' bathroom. No, you won't. You know, let me just say it. I'm going to tell it like it is. You like it if I tell it like it is? These fools that think that's the way that you ought to think. They're fools. That is the most devilish, idiotic, asinine, if you will, way to think. Well, Pastor Dan, how do you really feel? Let me ask you something. How many of y'all have or did have little girls? Okay, you had a daughter, right? Little boys? Some of you had little boys? Okay. You want to send your 12-year-old daughter goes to the bathroom at a restaurant, goes in there, and there's a man in there. I know how every one of you would feel about that, me included, or in the opposite respect. You know, your 15-year-old son goes into the bathroom, or your husband goes in the bathroom, and there's a woman in there with the stall open using the bathroom. Excuse me? That's because people have, they're trying to be so open-minded that their brains have fallen out in the sewer, for crying out loud. What kind of stupidity is that? Oh, I identify as a female. Excuse me, you're a guy. I identify as a male. No, sorry, you're a lady. You know, so let's take that the next step. Why identify with one of these NBA players who's making $30 million a year? Identify. I ought to have the same thing he has. How dare you? That's inequality. I want what you have. They'd think, we were talking about this the other day, Mike. They think, are you crazy? I've got the contract. You don't. You don't have a right to that. Well, excuse me, you've got a birth certificate that says you were born a girl, and now you're trying to go into men's rooms, or vice versa. But so much of that stuff's going on today. It's absolutely sick. It's devilish. Any way you slice it, our former president who was backing that stuff from the White House, we want gender equality. Hey, I think that men ought to be treated, there should be equality among the sexes, male and female. In other words, there shouldn't be this glass ceiling that a woman can only make this much, but a man can make that much. That shouldn't be there. I think you ought to be paid on based on your ability. And if you don't have the ability, you shouldn't be getting what the guy that has all, or the lady that has all the ability is getting. I guess I got to get back on the word, right? Here we go. Although the Bible bears out what we're talking about. So the goyim, they all want all this stuff. Don't get caught in that. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's literally his rule and reign in your life. That's what the word kingdom means. His rule and reign in your life. Seek him first. Don't just go after the blessings. You get the blessings and then kiss God and say, I'll see you later. I don't need you now. Now I got what I want. That doesn't work. Those blessings will grow wings. And they will fly away from you. And you'll find yourself in a bad position. Don't do that. Seek first the kingdom of God, okay? So, let's go on with this. The word manage, get this. Here's definition of the word manage, because you're called as a steward to manage the resources that the Lord's entrusted to you. It's resource manipulation to accomplish a desired purpose. Resource manipulation to accomplish a desired purpose. If I'm going to manage the things I have in this life well and be a good steward of what I've been entrusted with, both in the spiritual realm, now don't just think we're just talking about cars and land and homes and possessions. We're talking about the spiritual things even more so that you've been entrusted with. And you need to be a good steward of what you have been given to work with. Oh, well, that's just the Bible. This is the most important book you will ever have in your life. And it's not one that should gather dust on the book table. Buy the most expensive Bible you can find and make it look nice so when people come over, they see you've got your Bible out there. There's nothing wrong with nice Bibles. I've got about 50 of them. But the fact is, you know, that's not... Read it! For crying out loud, study it! Amen! So, let's go on with this. The title of this message today is Understanding is organizing, and that's part of what we need to discuss here in being a good steward, is you need to be organized. That's a dirty word to some people. Organized? I can't be organized. What does organized mean? Organized means this: to put in working order, to gather available elements into a functional arrangement. So, where the word is concerned, you've been given a lot of verses of scripture and you've been fed the word of God. It's one thing to have a bunch of facts in your head. That's called knowledge. That's literally what knowledge is. Knowledge is the acquisition of information, facts, and data. How many of y'all have some knowledge? Sure you do. Yolanda, you can think back in school. Now, I know you graduated with your degree in accountant. Accountant? Accountant. She's an accountant. She's accountant, Mike. Mike's an accountant. Nick is a CPA too. You know that. They're not here today. But you had to study things in school, some of what you're using in your occupation right now, right? I mean, okay. But there were some things that you had to take classes for that you're not using, right? Yeah. Stuff that you probably, all that data, all the information and the knowledge that you acquired, you memorized, you got the facts down so you could take the test, right? And then some of that you retain, but a lot of it you don't. It's that way in anybody's occupation. Whatever you do, there are certain things that you will home in on, and that will be, these facts are the things I need to remember, and not only know, I need to know how I can make them work for me. Being able to take information and make it work for you, the application of the knowledge is called wisdom. Wisdom is simply what it is. It's applied knowledge, but it's the ability to make knowledge work for you to bring about a desired end result. So you have knowledge, and then you have wisdom. Knowledge is just a bunch of facts. It could be scriptures that you've memorized. There are people that have memorized books of the Bible but aren't even saved. There are people that have memorized a whole bunch of scriptures. They have volumes of verses that they have memorized. There are people that have memorized half the New Testament or more. They can recite it to you, but they can't get the power of God to move in their life. Interesting. There are people that know verses on healing, but they can't get healed. Why? Because it's knowledge, data that has been acquired, but they don't know how to make it work in their life. And that's the big difference between somebody who walks in just knowledge and somebody who has not only the knowledge but the wisdom to apply the knowledge. Now, here's something that I want you to focus on, because we're going to talk about understanding right now. Understanding is a very, very interesting word. You see it there in verse number 130. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. You see that? It gives understanding to those whose lives are not so complicated, not so tied up and busy that they don't have time to get before the Lord. Understanding is a very interesting word, and I want you to know that there is a connection between knowledge and wisdom, and that connecting bridge is understanding. Understanding must be in our lives for the word to give us light. Do you see that from verse 130? The entrance of your words give life. It gives understanding to those whose lives are not complicated. Well, I need understanding. So I've got to simplify my life in order to get the understanding. If my life is too complex, I hear the word, and all it does is add to my data that I have stored up in my head. Oh, I can memorize that. I can memorize that. It's not doing you any good. You may have it memorized, but it's not doing you any good. Until you can take the word that you have and actually apply it and see God's power move. Amen. So I'm always harping about, you know, lay hands on the sick, believe God. When you do that, when you do it in faith, people get healed. People get set free. It's not just a head job here thing like we just have it in our head. No, there's actually steps involved to having the power of God happen and move in a person's life. And when it's alive to somebody and they have that revelation, things happen. Lives are changed, touched, affected by the anointing. Amen. But where there is disorganization, where there is such busyness, and the life of that person is so complex and so complicated, and they have so much going on. I hear this when people say, I'm just so busy. You're too busy for God. I'm so busy. Again, as I prefaced much of this with when we were talking before about who do you suppose is behind making you so busy that you don't have time for the Lord. Wake up. Can I hear an amen? Wake up. The devil's going, ah, I'll get him. Here's how I'll get him. I'll get him with this or I'll get him with that. You know, and I understand because I have been fooled myself in times past. And you cannot get all caught up in stuff and let your life get so complex that you don't have time for the Lord here in his word. It's the entrance of the word that brings light, and it will bring this understanding to those whose lives are not so complex. So at the start of this year, the focus here is to simplify our lives. You say, well, it seems like it's getting kind of complicated with the way we're explaining all of this. Hang on, hang on. You can get a bunch of data, a bunch of verses of scripture in your thoughts, but until you take those thoughts of the word and meditate on them and learn how to actually see those verses begin to produce in your life. How many of y'all believe that it's God's will that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers? 3 John 2 says that. Well, that's real good, Pastor. I mean, it's God's will that we prosper. It's God's will that we be in health. God wants us to have all of our needs met. You know, if we seek first kingdom of God. Yeah, that's right. We were just talking, Matthew 6, verse 33. But it's one thing to know that. It's another thing to know the particulars involved and the revelation that needs to come in order to take it from just being able to recite 3 John 2 and actually have your faith work and produce and bring increase into your household. The sowing of seeds is intricately involved in that. The confession of your mouth, the attitude of your heart, what you're meditating on day in and day out, what you put before you, what is the priority in your life. If money becomes a priority in your life, then the Lord is no more in that place of being the priority. If the Lord's number one, then that's where he needs to stay. If money replaces God and money becomes your God, you're in trouble. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, the Bible is very plain about not having idols. And money can become an idol. Things can become an idol. People can become an idol in your life. Well, you put a person ahead of God all the time. Did you ever stop and think about that? Some people idolize other people. Or they put their job at such a high priority that the job replaces the Lord. Or they put their own physical looks ahead of spending time with God. Now, I think you ought to look nice. I think you should take care of yourself. I think that you should eat right, exercise, diet, all that stuff, whatever you're doing. You know, I agree. Take your vitamins. Amen. But don't leave the Lord out of that. Amen. You want to live a long time on this life, then that's one of the keys to doing that. And, okay, so we'll press on with this right now because I need to close this. Dave, where's Dave? Dave's out doing security? Okay. I was going to say something to Dave, but I won't. Praise God. Understanding is dependent upon a life that is simplified. Now, you see that from that verse, verse 130. Gives understanding to the simple. Understanding is dependent upon a life that has become uncomplicated. You've got to uncomplicate things in your life and stop putting stuff ahead of God all the time. All right? So we said knowledge is the acquisition of information, facts, and data. In other words, getting a lot of thoughts put into your head. Wisdom is knowing how to take those thoughts and apply them into a situation and see them work for you to bring about a desired end result. Understanding translates this way. Get this. The Hebrew word for understanding, it's a word that translates this, to mentally organize, to mentally organize, or mental separation, to mentally distinguish or arrange. So when we start talking about understanding, you're going to get understanding. You've got to start becoming organized in your day. Because the word understanding means to mentally organize. How am I going to simplify my life? I have to organize things? Isn't it amazing when you get things organized in the house how much nicer it feels? You remember Culchin's hardware store, guys? Yeah? Now they can nod their heads because, and Pam, it was a store up in Cedarburg where we grew up, Culchin's. And my dad loved Culchin's. You go into Culchin's hardware store. It was a little store down on the corner in this historic town where we lived. And you go in there. I'm not kidding you, man. Nothing was in order. Nothing. He'd say, and my dad knew the owner of it, and yeah, I'm looking for one of these. He's gone to the other hardware stores and organized places, you know. And you go into Culchin's. Culchin's was the most disorganized store I think I'd ever seen. Now, But I don't know about the way their books were or anything like that. I don't know. But you'd walk in there and there'd be a box here half open and stuff laying out on the shelf and this, that. And they were all over and dust on stuff. But that guy had everything. You couldn't find it anywhere else. You could find it at Culchin's. But I remember the feeling I would get when I would go in there. It's like, man, somebody needs to straighten this place up. Dear Lord. This is just drive a person who likes organization up the wall. But yet, my dad would go back there because the guy always had stuff that you could find. Well, my point of bringing that up is, if that store had been more organized, the interesting thing was, I guess it was organized in Mr. Culchin's head because he knew exactly where stuff was at. Oh, I'll show you. I got one of those over here. And you pull a box out and in the back and in the back of this box, pull out this. Here, is this what you're looking for? My dad, yeah. It would have been nice if it was all organized. But I know I did it in my garage and I still have some organizing to do. But I went out and I bought some cabinets and these metal garage cabinets. They're really kind of cool looking. I mounted one up on the wall and then mounted one to the it's a stand-up one that you hook to the wall as well. But you organize things. You get them in there. I've got shelves and things and hooks. And you put stuff up and get it where you can find it. Amen. And when I got the wheelbarrow up on the wall, that made me feel good that day. Organize your life. How much better will 2020 feel if you get some things organized? and you stop living by the seat of your pants when you get up in the morning. You don't have time to spend with God because you're too busy stuffing your face or putting on the, makeup or whatever, ladies. I think that's great to use your makeup. That's fine. I'm not coming against that in any way. But there has to be time spent with God before you do all that other stuff. You've got to carve out time to spend with the Lord. Now, that devotion time is vital. But the stuff I'm talking about here of getting things organized and gaining understanding about stuff in your life is another issue completely. To have organization in your life, you still have to have your prayer time, your time with the Lord and all that. But then there comes a time where you sit down and you think about things that you need to address in your life. And you pray and you meditate and you let the Lord begin to speak to you about what you need to do to straighten that situation up with that relationship. Or what you need to do regarding this bill over here and how you can approach that. And the Lord will give you creative ideas regarding how to approach this situation, that situation, whatever it may be. You want understanding? You have to uncomplicate your life. And that part of that uncomplicating process is giving time before God to address the disorganization in your life. Most people are disorganized when it comes to their lives. I don't say that to come against you, but it's a fact. Most people's lives are not organized regarding hearing instructions from the Lord concerning that situation you're dealing with that's frustrating you day after day. He has an answer for that. Your life is too complicated, and you're spending time in all these other areas doing all these other things, and you're not getting alone with him regarding how to solve that problem that dings you 7 days a week. Amen. So it's time to pare some things back that are stealing your time to even sit down and think about getting some things straightened up. Let's go to the book of Psalm 49. Go over there right quick. Nope, before you do that, go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Now we're going to run through these quickly and ship you home. How's that sound? We'll do it. Yeah, I know. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Now, so understanding is to mentally organize. We need to take time before the Lord to gain understanding, because understanding bridges the gap between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge that you obtain. Understanding bridges that and shows you what to do next and how to order things so that you can get to the place of walking in wisdom. Proverbs 24, look at verse number 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Well, we've used that for, you shouldn't be lazy, right? I mean, look at it. You shouldn't be lazy, right? I got a yep, right, and one amen. You shouldn't be lazy, amen? He went by the field of the slothful. Okay, we understand that, slothful. But then it goes in, he said, and he went by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, or the disorganized guy. The one who didn't know how to mentally organize things in his life. And the result was the same for both the slothful and the disorganized person. That's verse 31. So it's important that we get some things organized in our thoughts regarding how we're going to conduct our days on a daily basis. This year is a good, it's good to do this at the start of a year. Take some time to ask the Lord what you need to do to deal with that situation. I've said it to you before, and it doesn't change. John chapter 2, when Jesus' mother, you know what I'm going to say. Mary said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And they did. So I will mimic that and say, whatever he tells you to do, do it. But if you're not going to take time to sit down and let him show you what you need to do, don't complain. I told you this was going to be a pretty practical thing. Now go to Proverbs 16. You're right here in Proverbs. Let's do this before we leave Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse number 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? I see that in the Word a lot, especially in the book of Proverbs. Get wisdom. Get understanding. It's important to know how to apply the knowledge that you have. It's important to sit down and get some mental organization about the facts that you have, and knowing how to take them from just facts in your head to facts that actually begin to produce in your life. But if you don't ever bridge that divide, if you don't ever bridge that gap with a time of being quiet and letting the Lord minister to you regarding how to put these things together. What I gave you a definition back here about, let's see, let me look, I wrote it down. Managing. Organizing, to put in a working order, to gather available elements into a functional arrangement. Well, we have some knowledge about this situation over here that's in our life. Let's say it's with a child or something, or with something at work. And you have some knowledge about that. You've got some facts about it, but you don't know how to get a change to occur there. So you need to get along with God and let him show you how the facts that you have right now, that there are still some facts that you need, but then how to take those very same facts and by faith, what word you need to be speaking over that situation to bring the desired change that he wants to have happen. It really boils down to this. Getting quiet before God. Getting before the Lord. Let him speak to you regarding the things that he wants you to address. Sure. You know, I said it to you before that people get a little knowledge about the word. Well, Jesus healed people. Jesus heals, right? Amen. Okay. Then you find the word, Jesus healed them all. And then it begins to progress, and as you go, you're getting in the Word. Now you find out that there's a redemptive benefit that was purchased with the blood of Jesus. And then for a person that believes in Jesus, they have a right. A little more revelation's coming. And you find out that the Scripture says, by the stripes of Christ, you were healed. You're adding to the knowledge that you have, and you're spending time before the Lord, and he's helping you to organize these facts. And then you find out that it's God's will that people be healed, just like it is that they be saved. And then you go and you find out, well, that there are different ways healing can manifest. You can lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You can anoint people with oil. There are different ways. And then you find out the confession of your mouth is vital. Then you find out that you need to start speaking those things that be not as though they were. Then you need then you begin to find out in the Word that faith without works is dead, so I need to have some corresponding actions if I'm going to believe God for healing. We started with the fact that Jesus healed back in the Bible, and he still heals today, but that's one thing to know that, another thing to get it to manifest here in 2020. It's not good enough to have a head full of knowledge about this stuff. You need to build on that and let the Lord minister to you to take it from just a place of memorized scriptures to actually being settled in your heart that, you know what, the power of God will manifest, and the power of God will change this situation, and the power of God will bring about a desired end result. So then all of a sudden, pieces begin to fall into place, and suddenly a light comes on in your life, And the revelation is now not just head knowledge. Now it's actually, here's what I need to do. And the Lord tells you, now I want you to go over there and I want you to lay hand on that person. Tommy said it to me the other day. He spoke to a man in a restaurant. What was that about? Was it about, he was waiting on a kidney. And what did you say? You won't need?
No, I said, how's it going? He goes, well, we're just waiting on this kidney. It's not happening. And I just put my hand on him, and my mouth said, you're going to get it right away. And 2 days later, he had it.
2 days later, he had it.
Yes.
Now, okay, so that's an example of, here's a situation. Tommy had meditated the word regarding that. A person that he knew, he wasn't like, somebody he talked to all the time. I mean, he knows this man. I know him too. Not somebody in our church. And the guy, the comment, I believe they were in Panera, and Tom just put his hand out and said, you'll have that. And 2 days later, he got it. Time spent before the Lord produces great results. Most of the time, people are doing a lot of complaining and no quiet time before God. So make it different this year for you. Go to Proverbs 3, verse number 5. I want you to go there. We're going to Proverbs 3. I'm not going to that other verse. Look at this. Here's what it reads. Trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding or ability to mentally organize. Whoa, well, now wait a minute. Some of you think that you have really good organizational skills. My wife's a good organizer. I have news for you. Every one of us in here can organize things. Every one of us. God doesn't call you to a place of needing to organize things and you are devoid of any ability to do it. No. What he calls you to do, you can do. Most people like to bump it off on somebody else. Well, they can organize my life for me because they're better at it than I am. Get after it. Stop bumping it off on somebody else and start sitting down and letting the Lord give you that understanding, that mental organization of things that you need to address in your life in 2020. Amen. Get before him. Don't lean on your own organizational abilities. That's what that's saying. Don't lean on your own organizational abilities. Now I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 11, just a couple books to the right. Who do you lean on? You lean on the Lord, amen? And what's that? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is verse 2. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. I've got news for you. You can rest on the Holy Spirit. You can rest on the Spirit of wisdom and understanding to show you what you need to do in your life beginning today and get things organized in your life, both spiritually and naturally. It's amazing how natural disorder can produce spiritual chaos. I don't know if you're like me. You probably are. Most people are like this. But don't we all like things nice? Right? Is anybody just like things messy, sloppy, and just nasty and messed up? Anybody in here? Don't raise your hand if you do. No, we all like things straight and in order, and some are more fanatic, I'll give you that, and picky and all that. But, nobody likes their house when they walk in, stuff just strewn all over the place. Stuff out of order, stuff here. And at some point, it begins to affect your disposition. Believe it or not, it does. I went into a guy's house one time. I'm not kidding you. I had to walk like 1 foot in front of, like this, to get through the boxes of junk that he had everywhere. And wonder why his life was in chaos. Well, your house is a pigsty. Some of you going, I'm going home and going to get some things straightened up today. Feel the conviction. Well, I mean, hey, go before the Lord and let him speak to you about it. I don't know that I like that. I like living like I live. Well, are you getting the results that you desire? So there's both natural, because that will boil over into your spiritual life. It's true.
Yes, sir.
It'll boil over into your spiritual life. Quit letting things, situations dominate you. You get before God so you can dominate the situation. Get things in order. Get after it. Come on. That's a good thing. The Spirit of God will help you in this. He is the ultimate organizer. He knows how to organize things. And he knows the beginning from the end. And he knows what you need to do to get some things straight in your life, both spiritually and in the natural. This message about understanding is organizing applies both naturally and spiritually. And so I would pray. I would get before him. I would pray in the spirit. I would yield to his ministry, as we just mentioned in Isaiah 11, verse 2. Yield to him. Then listen and let him give you a plan for this year. Are any of you in here today saying, you know what, my life can be more organized, both spiritually and naturally? I will answer for all of you. We all need to. I don't care if you're one of the most organized people you know. God's organization. And a lot of times when people have things so organized, that takes the precedent over the time with the Lord. We're not talking about just cleaning out your cupboard, although that may be something you need to do. We're talking about, spiritually speaking, more even than the natural. There are three areas, and I mentioned it to you last week, that you're going to need to deal with regarding uncomplicating things in your life. Your time, your money, and your relationships. And those three areas are what we have to deal with in life. How are you utilizing your time? Is your time so complicated you don't have time for God? You think about that the next time you want to bump it off and say, I don't have time for God. You think about that for a minute. That's a total misuse of your time. Your time is not yours. Our days belong to the Lord. You realize you're breathing his oxygen right now? Amen. Suck it in. Feels good. What if he decided to cut off the oxygen supply in the earth right now? Everybody be dead. That's right. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. How dare you not worship him and live for him? On a daily basis. Huh? Well, that's the truth. Well, I don't know, Pastor Dan. I mean, he put the earth in. Yes, he did, but he expects us to be doing certain things. You are called to be a steward. How are you doing in that stewardship that you're called to? What about your time? Is your time more important than time to be spent with him? Is your money your money? Or is it really all God's money? And if he tells you to do this with it, you're going to do it with it. What does he tell you to do? The problem is people have usurped the position the Lord should have in their life, and they've replaced him with things and or ideas that contradict the word. Any way you slice it, he's calling us to be more dedicated. And how do you treat the people that you know, that you're in fellowship with, that are friends, that you're in relationship with? We're going to talk about how we can make our marriages better. We're going to talk about how we can make our friendships with people more effective and all that in this series. So, come on, spend some time before the Lord. Not only in prayer regarding, you know, just your devotion and praying and interceding for people that you know and situations and that you're believing for. Sit down and have some time before him and let him show you what's not in order in your life. Fair? All right, let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you and praise you for the word today. We will gain understanding. We will learn how to be those that organize things the way they should be organized, the way you want them organized. Put our households in order, both naturally and spiritually. And I thank you. And I praise you and bless you this day that we will be those, yeah, that hear from you and do what you say. In Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen.